I thought this would be a good time of year to talk about getting your vehicle ready for the upcoming winter months, and who better to tell us how to do that than the car doctor, John Paul from AAA Northeast, joining us once again. John, great to see you again. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I thought we haven't really had a lot of winter weather yet, although it is inevitable, unfortunately. So what are some of the things, just basic things, that folks should be considering right now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As we get into the colder weather, and I can't predict the future, but I know it's going to get cold and we're going to see snow. So, you know, some of the basics that never change. The typical life of a battery in the Northeast is just a little bit under 5 years. So if you have a five-year-old car, or a five-year-old battery in your car, definitely think about getting it checked. In fact, we recommend having batteries checked when they get to be about 3 years old, because you never know. That's the 5 year is an average, so you never know what you're really going to get. You know, will a battery last longer than that? Sure. But it's the cold weather that tests the battery. It's the hot weather, it's actually the warm weather, that actually shortens the life of the battery. That's what causes a chemical reaction inside the battery and shortens its life. So you may have gotten through the summer and into the fall, but that first cold winter day when you really need a good strong battery, it might not be there. So think about having the battery tested now while the weather is nice. Way better than waiting till the first two or three cold days in a row and you and everybody else wants to buy a battery the same day. So, you know, get it done now while it's nice and easy. All the vital fluids in the car, if you haven't had an oil change recently, good idea to change the oil. Contaminated oil tends to cause the engine to crank over a little bit slower. Fresh oil, the engine cranks over easier. If you drive a relatively newer car, maybe think about switching to synthetic oil. Synthetic oil is a little bit more expensive, but it lubricates better. It allows for easier startup of the engine, and it also reduces wear of the engine when the engine's cold. So synthetic oil can help. Engine antifreeze, the engine coolant, a 50-50 mix of antifreeze and water brings the car down to about 34 below zero. I don't think we'll ever see 34 below zero, but I was watching the weather last night, and where's the place up in it's not Frostbite Falls, but it's someplace up, you know, it's I think it was minus 12 yesterday. Yeah. So you know, the weather can get cold, so but that 50-50 mixture will protect the engine against freezing, but also helps it prevent overheating in the summertime. So make sure the antifreeze, the coolant, is good and clean. Tires on the car, you know, the tires are the only part of your car that touches the ground. So you want to make sure you have good tires on your car with good tread and make sure they're properly inflated. If you need to be out before the snow plows, you might want to consider either a dedicated snow tire or what we call now a all-weather tire. There's all-season tires. We've had all-season tires forever. An all-season tire is sort of a one-size-fits-all kind of replacement tire, but the same all-season tire that you buy in Quincy is the same all-season tire you buy in Phoenix. Mm. So they need to do this same thing, and they're not going to be maybe good at everything. Where an all-weather tire actually has the same markings as a dedicated snow tire, they do have a little bit shorter life, but you can keep them on year-round. They work great in the summertime. They work fantastic in the wintertime. And really, for somebody that needs to be out, if you're like you, Joe, you need to be out before the snow plows. People in the medical field, they need to be out before the snow plows. So if you're one of those people, maybe consider either winter tires or an all-weather tire. If not, good all-season tires, but make sure the tread's in good shape. Take a quarter, go out and stick a quarter in the tread. If the tread doesn't come up to at least Washington's head, it's time for new tires on the car. Go visit your local tire store, buy a new set of tires. Your car will like it, you'll like it, your car will ride quieter, it'll be more secure when you're on the road. Good tires don't just get you going, but they also help for stopping. Right. And that's the important part. That tread that you need to get you going is also that same tread you need to stop in snowy or icy weather. So that's important too. Belts and hoses last forever, it seems like, these years. It used to be that when I first started to repair cars, You'd replace a fan belt in 2 years, maybe a radiator hose in 3 years. Now we're seeing 10 years or longer. But we're also seeing the average car on the road today is just over 13 years old. So if you have a 2009 car and you haven't done any real heavy maintenance to the car, like belts and hoses and things like that, you're probably on borrowed time with those parts. So get it into a good garage, have it checked over, let them kind of go over it and see what it's going to need. Those are things you need to do for the winter time. And also, cars can't be perfect. So we tend to go out dressed like it's springtime a lot of times. It's always a good idea just to, you know, keep in your car somewhere, extra winter coat, maybe boots, gloves, snow shovel, something to clean the snow off the car if you come out of work and your car is covered with snow. I don't know how many people I've seen trying to scrape their windshields with their driver's license or their credit card. So a good ice scraper is a good thing to keep in the car. And again, plan for the worst and hope for the best. You know, keep that little kind of emergency kit in the car. That's going to help a lot. Make sure the windshield washer is full. Make sure the windshield washer is good to 30 below zero like the antifreeze is. In the late fall, I was in an auto parts store, and they had windshield washer on clearance. And I noticed it said summer mix. So it was only good to 32 degrees. So, you know, tomorrow morning, your windshield washer could be frozen, and that's not going to do you any good. And it could break. So, you know, make sure it's a good winter mix of windshield washer. Yep. And, you know, you do those things, your car's going to be in pretty good shape.
Any special considerations with electric or hybrid vehicles when it comes to winter maintenance, John?
They also have coolant. Oddly enough, the battery systems in some electric vehicles do have coolant that needs to be changed periodically. The most important thing, and it's easy for a lot of electric car owners, they keep their cars plugged in. They drive in at home, and just like you charge up your phone, they charge up their car. So unlike gasoline car owners sometimes that get in their car and there's a quarter of a tank of gas and maybe they're stopping at gas when the low fuel light comes on, electric car owners a lot of times start their car with a full tank of electrons. And they have the mileage, which could be 250 or 300 miles every single day. So that's helpful. Electric cars tend to wear out tires faster because they're heavier cars and they wear out the tires quicker. So an electric car with 20 or 25,000 miles on it could be due for a set of tires. Other than that, not a lot of maintenance. Hoses need to be replaced. Sometimes there's some other belt-driven accessories. But tires are probably the most critical thing, and I have yet to be in an electric car that has a spare.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you want to make sure your tires are in good shape. The other nice thing is, too, you can precondition an electric car. So if you have an electric car and you plug it in at night, you can set it so it will come on and warm up the interior of the car on a cold day. So you're always getting into a warm car, and you're never using the battery when you do that. You're just using the electricity from the house. So not a lot of extra things for electric cars, but they do require the same amount of maintenance, and funny things can still happen. Doors can freeze shut, windshield wipers can fail, things like that, just like a gasoline car. So a little bit of preventative maintenance there can help, but a lot less things like fluids and belts and hoses that you have to worry about like you would with a gasoline car.
Yeah. One thing I did want to talk about today, just because it's timely as to what happened in Boston earlier this week, driving through flooded roadways and flooded tunnels. We saw the Ted Williams Tunnel just get inundated, and I saw these cars going through that deep water thinking, I don't want to have one of those cars. I think they're going to have a lot of problems.
You really can, and it doesn't. If you're in that situation, and in a tunnel, obviously you can't back up.
Right.
But if you're in a side street and you see a big puddle up ahead of you, maybe a good idea is turn around.
Yeah.
Don't try to go through it. You can just 6 inches of water can cause the engine to suck some of that water up and get ingested in the engine and cause serious damage. 8 or 9 inches of water can actually cause your car to float. And all of a sudden now you've lost control of the vehicle on top of that. So if you have no choice but to go through standing water that's very deep like that, do it very slowly. Some people want to do it fast. They feel they'll get through it faster, it'll be better off.
Right.
No, do it very slowly because you want to try to not get the water ingested up into the engine. Most of the time, the air intake is above the grill. It's kind of like up near where the radiator is somewhere. Mm-hmm. But going through really fast, you could splash some water in there and cause the engine to become totally destroyed. So if you find yourself in that situation, slow is better, and slow is safer too. But if you can avoid it somehow, and again, you're not going to be able to avoid it in the tunnel, but if you can avoid it, try to, you know, turn around. I talked to somebody just the other day who saw a flooded street ahead of them. They're like, oh, we can make it. And they didn't. And their car was stuck in the middle.
Yep.
Tow truck came, towed them out. They had the car towed home. And they ended up, the car ended up being totaled.
Is
it
that
was
right?
A, yeah. It was a 5 or 6 year old car, but it, the engine was completely damaged. So, So be really cautious of that.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be thinking about buying a used car, be real cautious of the ones that came from any of the flooded states too.
Yes.
You know, in the Carolinas down to Florida, there was thousands and thousands of cars that were flooded. Many of those cars are going to end up on the used car market. So if you're out there used car shopping, be a little suspicious of anything. Do one of the Carfax type things to have it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a little suspicious if the car came from Tampa, Florida, or somewhere in the Carolinas that got flooded.
Sure, especially after the big storms that they recently had well. Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, a couple of other things with floods. You don't know what's under that water in terms of debris or hazards. And all the electronics today, I would think, would be subject to problems.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even sometimes on a normal day, a big puddle in the road could be hiding a big pothole.
Right.
So you might see just a puddle that looks like, oh, it's a 3-foot-wide puddle. Well, that 3-foot-wide puddle could also be a 3-foot-hole deep hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So always best to try to avoid big puddles like that when you can. Just be extra cautious. As our roadways start to wear, and they all do, it's part of normal life of a roadway, there can be some serious potholes. And they, even a pothole by itself can do some serious damage to your
car.
Literally thousands of dollars.
You mentioned, John, a little while ago that cars are a lot older on the roads today than they have been in years. Are people not buying new cars anymore?
People are still holding off a little bit. Car dealers' lots, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, during the pandemic, car dealer lots were pretty empty. Today, we're starting to see, inventories coming up. Prices are starting to be more rational, I think. I mean, it used to be you go into a car dealership, there was the MSRP, the suggested list price, and even a poor negotiator sometimes would get 10% off of that price.
Right.
Today, we're still seeing some cars selling it above MSRP. Most are selling it close to manufacturer's suggested list price. People are buying. They're not buying quite the way they were. We talked about electric cars. Electric car sales are up slightly. Oddly, Tesla, kind of the market leader, their sales are down a little bit. But, we're starting to see sales coming around. Again, part of that reason is cars are getting old. And people now are looking at, well, I kind of put off that car purchase during the pandemic because I wasn't going anywhere. Then I'm working from home. More and more businesses are requiring their employees to come back to the office, maybe in a hybrid manner. And they need a dependable car to do it.
Sure. We always like to talk about where gas prices are and where they're going on this program. So what do you think?
In Quincy, the average gas price is about $3.02 a gallon.
Hmm.
If you drove down to Raynham, Mass., for instance, you could probably buy gas for $2.79 a gallon.
Wow.
But we're averaging right around $3.02. That is 32 cents less than it was last year at this time. So if you are planning that big holiday trip, maybe you're driving down to Washington, D.C. For the holidays, that round trip could conceivably cost you, $13, $14, $15 less today than it did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a savings there. And we have seen a lower price in the past couple of months. So a little bit of extra money in your pocket all at the same time.
We saw record travel over the Thanksgiving holiday. Is the same prediction true for the upcoming Christmas, New Year's holidays?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're looking at 119 million people are going to be traveling. 90% of those, about 107,000, will be going by car. The good news for all of us driving is it's a pretty long period. It's the day or so before Christmas through New Year's Day. So it's a pretty long period of time where people are going to be on the roads. The other thing is air travel is up. In fact, we're seeing air travel, it's up about, I think there's 7.8 million people traveling this holiday season. That's up a couple million from last year. Wow. So not that the planes will be any more crowded, because they can only be as crowded as they can be, but anticipate maybe parking delays at the airport. You know, if you can do one of the park and ride shuttles, always a good choice to be able to do it. If you can make a reservation at one of the offsite lots, that's always a good idea. You may find central parking at Logan could be really crowded over this week-long period. So kind of plan ahead for that at the same time. People are still traveling. There's a lot of pent-up demand for travel. So it's not unusual, especially during this time period where there's sort of a weekend at each end of the holiday. People are getting in their cars, they're getting on planes, and they're getting on cruise ships, and they're traveling.
John, always a pleasure to catch up with you. I want to take a minute and wish you, your family, your colleagues, a very happy and healthy holiday season.
You as well, Joe. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and stay healthy. That's the most important thing.
Yes, and get back on that beach behind you in that beautiful Buick.
There we go.
Thanks again, John.
All right. Thanks, Joe.